Good morning, folks. It's finally here, Sail 250. We've been talking about it for months. Really exciting. The ships start arriving this morning. Many more will start. We'll arrive tomorrow morning as well. We are at the Julia Street Wharf right here on the Mississippi River, and I'm very excited to co-host with Mark Romig, who's you're kind of chairing this whole operation for New Orleans and Company, right?
Newell, thank you for having us. Yeah, I'm a member of the host committee. We've been planning this for about 6 years. With the United States Navy and the United States Coast Guard, with the help of our guest coming on, Lieutenant General Anderson from the Marine Corps. And it is a magnificent way for us to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our nation.
And for the benefit of the listening audience, Mark, really quick, this is the first port city in the whole celebration.
We are the inaugural port of five ports. Only five ports were selected to participate. We will begin the celebration, and these ships will leave us next week and head up the East Coast and visit Norfolk, Baltimore, New York, and then end in Boston.
What a trek, for sure.
Yeah.
I'd love to get on one of those boats.
Well, you know, we could probably arrange that, Newell. Maybe you can do the show from one of the deck of the Kearsarge.
That would be fun. Let's get to our guest, Lieutenant General Len Anderson, who is the commander of Marine Forces Reserve and Marine Forces South. He joins us to talk about a number of issues, a decorated FA-18 Hornet pilot and a Top Gun graduate. You are the first Top Gun graduate I've ever had the opportunity to meet, and I'm really excited about that. You've served in a number of different combat operations over your years of service in the military. First, let me thank you for your service. We truly appreciate it. And on behalf of Mark and myself, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Newell. I appreciate it. Mark, really glad to be here this morning. And if you would have told a kid from Minnesota that he was going to end up graduating from Top Gun, I would have never believed it at the time. But that's actually why I joined. It was the first Top Gun movie.
Was it really?
It is, absolutely. So I grew up on the other end of the Mississippi River and went into the Marine Corps. And it's been quite a ride. So the service, the pleasure's been all mine. It was really good for me.
I was too old by the time that movie came out to get
it. But it was true to form, wasn't it?
It was absolutely true to form. You know, not a lot of red convertibles out there in the desert of Fallon, but it was close.
Great. How about the motorcycle rockets?
Yeah, I never got into that, thank goodness, but I had plenty of friends that did. But it was certainly an interesting core school and part of the career. And being an aviator, you know, that's one of the places that you try to attain and graduate from.
I'm certain during your time in the military, you've touched a lot of places around the world, right?
I have, yeah. It's been, you name it, around the globe. I was very fortunate flying F-18s as a young fighter pilot to be part of a carrier air wing. So when we talk about Sail 250 and the Navy Marine Corps team, we have Marine pilots that are forward deployed on aircraft carriers. We call it TAC air integration, tactical integration. So I had the two cruises where we go around an aircraft carrier, respond immediately, you know, to world crises, much like you're seeing today. And every time you land on a ship, it's always rewarding.
I know we have a lot to talk about, but my curiosity is killing me, Mark. I apologize. What's it like going headed towards the back of a carrier? The carrier is moving, what, 21 knots, 22?
Depends.
Knots?
Yeah, we're trying to get the right wind over the aircraft, over the deck, and as you're approaching it, it does look smaller and smaller. But you know, it's all worth the reward of being able to give Air Force pilots a hard time that they can't land on a ship. So that's all you're really trying to think about. But I would say, when you're first learning to train, training to do this, it is very nervous. But then it just becomes, nothing's ever routine when you're afloat.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a lot of great capability out there, and it's once you do it a few hundred times, you get pretty good at it.
And General, one of the ships we have coming in, the Kearsarge, is an amphibious aircraft carrier. Did you serve on vessels like that?
I did not. To your point, Mark, those are a very capable part of our Navy Marine Corps team. You've seen them now in the Middle East. They're down in the Caribbean, in my other AOR in Southern Command. But those, the flat decks or the big deck amphibs is where we land all of our helicopters, Spray, F-35s, a lot of capability can come off of these different ships.
And it's carrying a number of Marines coming into New Orleans.
It is, yeah. We're going to have a good, at least, I think there's 500 or 600 Marines that are showing up. Now, typically, when you have an amphibious ready group and a Marine expeditionary unit, we're talking in the thousands of Marines and all kind of capability across three different amphibious platforms. So the shipbuilding industry and the continue to make the amphibious nature of our force is what makes the Marine Corps as lethal as it is.
And for the benefit of the listening audience, the Kearsarge is 844 feet in length, and speed is in excess of 22 knots, and a roughly 1,000 ship crew with the capacity to transport nearly 2,000 Marines.
That's right.
That's a beast.
In a few hours, when it comes around the corner here, I don't think the city of New Orleans will be able to miss this thing arriving.
You know, and speaking of that, when it does
pass... It's not like you're sneaking in, right?
And Newell, when it passes Jackson Barracks, there's going to be a 21-gun salute given by the National Guard, Louisiana National Guard, today.
12:15.
So we'll probably be able to hear it from here.
Yeah.
And then we expect it to be pierside by about... 2 o'clock or 1400 hours.
1400. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Now I know what time the ship's arriving.
Now you know. So
I was going to be out here at 2 a.m. if you said it was at 02.
I'm getting those things down.
Great. Yeah. One of the first times I came to New Orleans as a midshipman, I went to school in Illinois in Chicago, and we stayed on an amphibious ship right here in New Orleans to do the Tulane drill meet. And that was my first experience in New Orleans. So it's great to see one of these ships come back here.
So your most recent assignment, is describe that for our listening audience.
Sure. So right here in New Orleans, and first, if I could just for a second of history on the Marines, about 3 years after we were formed, a group of Marines got on a boat literally called the Rattle Trap, came down the Ohio River Valley, down the Mississippi, and landed here in Algiers. And the Marine Corps has been in this city ever since, 1778. Wow. Marine Forces Reserve came here after World War II. It was stood up by one director named Chesty Puller, at the time a colonel, very revered Marine in our history. The headquarters has remained. Approximately 1,800 civilian sailors and Marines work in the headquarters here at Algiers, and from there, we command over 33,000 active drilling reservists and another 50,000 inactive drilling reservists across the nation. And that's based right here across from the city. A lot of folks sometimes don't realize the scope and scale of what our headquarters is doing there, but that's why you see a lot of Marines in New Orleans. And then an additional job that I have is with Marine Forces South. So all Marines that are assigned to the Southern Command AOR, which as you've seen has been getting some attention as of late, will fall under the purview of our headquarters here, right here out of New Orleans. Again, a very strategic place. It's always been strategic, but we're happy to stay here. So
I've had the opportunity to work with a number of the reservists over the years, Toys for Tots, all kinds of other opportunities.
Wonderful program, yeah.
And, you know, they all love the city of New Orleans, and they love their time here. They love their, you know, being involved with the Marine Corps as well. Really, truly fine young adults. Really kind of always take a step back, and it's kind of like, wow, you know, and they start talking about their experience and the people that they've had opportunities to meet and the experience in the military, education that they've had, the training that they've had. They talk about they're so proud of it, and it's second to none.
Yeah, I think, Newell, not only do individual Marine reserves benefit from not only being in the city, but what we get back in our force when they've gone on to train, get different skills, that comes back to the Marine Corps. I'm going to give one really quick example. The other day, it was right after the holidays, there's a young Marine. She couldn't find her way into the building, and I couldn't understand, you know, so I showed her, and I was like, is this your first time here? She's like, yes, sir, you know, I just finished boot camp, and get some government shutdown. Still, she was delayed. All right, well, great. She's coming into the building. Well, what do? She's a private first class. I mean, brand new, first time in the building. Oh, I'm here at Tulane studying neuroscience. And, you know, you're just, this is the caliber of people that join our Marine Corps Reserve. It's really amazing.
It is. I'm just totally blown away. And we should be very thankful, too, that there are folks that are willing to serve, right?
Yes.
And the importance is same. And what's going on in today's world is a constant reminder of that.
Yeah, and this celebration allows us to be thankful for the freedoms that we all share.
No doubt, yeah. No doubt about it. So your stay here, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay, I'm ready.
Where do we rank as it relates to fun cities, friendly people?
Oh, this is number one. That's an easy answer. So part of my Marine Corps Reserve career, I was in and out of New Orleans for the last 18 years or so, but only recently have I lived in the city for the last 2 years full-time over on the West Bank. And when I thought I was going to retire next year to, you know, sunny Florida, we have changed that plan, and we're going to stay right here in New Orleans because we do love the city that much. Of everywhere I've been, we're going to make this home.
That's fantastic.
We do love it.
You know, speaking of your base, there's a historic structure on your base, and there's a group of individuals coming to visit it this weekend. Can you talk through that for
us? Thanks, Mark. So there's what we affectionately call Quarters A. It was originally built by LaBeouf, was his last name, but it was a home built in 1840, and it had been a privately owned home for about 60 years, and then the Navy, when they purchased that land for the Navy dry dock system as we were building ships for World War I, Teddy Roosevelt at the time came by and saw this home that was going to be demolished, and he demanded that it be preserved, and it should go to the Navy commander. So at the time, it was a Navy home all the way through World War II, and then recently, just up until about 15 years ago, where the commander now of Marine Forces Reserve, Marine Forces South, I'm very fortunate to live in this old historic home that you know, has a few noises here and there, but it's great to be there. Beautiful front porch. There's nothing better, and for me, and that experience in New Orleans too.
And the Theodore Roosevelt Association is actually meeting.
They are, yes,
with you this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for guiding me along that, Mark. They are going to come on Friday. I wanted to show them what he had preserved, some of the documents, and some of the history of his visit to that site as the Navy was getting ready.
You know, this is the first I hear of this. Did you know about this before?
I think they're not wanting to keep it low key, but this is a group of scholars that have some connection to President Roosevelt, maybe some of his family members.
There are some, yes.
And they meet around the world, and they chose, because America 250 is starting here with the maritime celebration with Sail 250, to come to New Orleans and see where he slept.
Yeah, I was super excited to when I heard that they were coming to offer them to come visit it, because when you do see the scope and scale of this home that's been around for a while, it's really interesting to know that he himself literally saved the house.
And he did a lot of things very different than most others. In fact, there's a great documentary on Netflix right now on Theodore Roosevelt that I just came across the last couple of rainy days that we had, and I ended up binge watching.
His bully pulpit was alive and kicking then.
Well, let's not. We also shouldn't forget he spent a lot of time with the McElhenney family and around the region. He loved this area of the world.
Yeah,
he certainly did. Your time at Quantico. Mm-hmm. I was able to spend 3.5 months there when I was in the FBI Academy. Very interesting. One who had never served. By the time I turned 18, the draft was gone. You didn't even have to register. I was kind of in that middle piece there for a couple of years where it wasn't even required. Interesting place.
Yes. Interesting is a great word for it, especially when you come into the Marine Corps to join and be a pilot, and you find yourself in Quantico doing land navigation at night, firing rifles, all fun things. However, it was hot. It was a long summer. And one thing I do remember towards the end, we have to dig fighting positions as you're training to be an infantry officer. All Marines are trained as a basic infantry officer. I dug a nice, solid defensive position. But the next day, as my hands were completely swollen with poison ivy, I'd realized I probably chose the wrong place. So my memories of Quantico aren't all that pleasurable. But I survived.
Yeah, it's funny how people revert back to, their boot camp experience and what they remember, the little nuances that they remember about boot camp, right?
I was back recently because my son just graduated from the basic school last year. He's also a Marine aviator. He went through flight school at Pensacola. So I was able to go back, watch an OCS graduation, officer candidate school, and then the basic school graduation. It did bring some reminders of what it's like there in the summer heat of Quantico. We think it's hot here. And it is, but...
at least we have a breeze, perhaps.
Yeah,
right?
We have a little something. Yeah. It's not just a dead heat.
Can you speak to the military history of New Orleans, the impact that the military has had over these centuries?
Sure, Mark. I'm obviously partial to the time in the Marine Corps here, but the Navy, in and of itself, and even the description of English Turn and why that exists as we were defending from the British here in the city, the Navy and Marine Corps and the Maritime... nature of the city and the strategic port that it is what's led to a continuous, you know, military presence. As we fought a lot of naval engagements, riverine battles across the Gulf Coast, we're all headquartered right here out of New Orleans.
Right, and it continues. We have what's happening over in Belle Chasse.
Sure does.
Over in Algiers, we've got the ROTC programs at the universities. So
right.
What, New Orleans continues to be center.
And tied into that, and what I'm also excited about is the growth of our maritime industrial base here in the greater New Orleans area. As of late, as we catch up to, you know, what our Secretary of the Navy wants to do and with rebuilding the fleet and the shipbuilding that's happening here in New Orleans, we are getting back to, I think, some historical levels of industry working here for the Department of the Navy.
Yeah, very much. I think the opportunity that people have to come down to the river, get close to the riverfront, see the Kearsarge and the Farragut and the tall ships and understand the depth of the maritime importance that New Orleans has.
It's I think when you do see it in person, it gives you that level.
It inspires, level, right?
It not only does it inspire you, but you realize, okay, these aren't things that you can just build overnight. It takes a long time to get one of these larger capital ships out of the yard. But without the people that are there, the Navy, the sailors and Marines that are going to come off the ships here, whether it's a tall ship or our current warfighting ships, if the people of New Orleans get to meet them and talk to them and see what their experience is like, I think they'll get to understand life on a ship a little bit more than what you just see on TV.
Yeah,
I, for one, loved living on a ship.
We're going to have approximately 3,000 crew members
yes.
in the city of New Orleans, and I know the city's going to have this wide open arm of embrace
yes.
As people see them walking around the streets of New Orleans and enjoying our hospitality and thanking them for their service.
So I hope so. I've told all the Marines here, you better be going out there and eating everything. You better
economic impact is going to be tremendous.
Yes, sir.
You must experience New Orleans right from the start. And I know as soon as they get off the ship this afternoon, it'll be as lively as New Orleans already is. It's going to be great to see the men and women of our services out there.
General, your final thoughts to our listening audience about the importance of Sail 250 and obviously the presence of the Marine Corps here in New Orleans.
Yeah, Newell, I think most importantly for this Sail 250, it's the inaugural event. Our Navy chose New Orleans to kick off Sail 250, which, of course, the Naval Review in New York City is another big key component to it. But the fact that we were able to start here in New Orleans, bring these ships in, show the partnerships. We have a lot of international partners that will be here as well. So you might not just see, your U.S. Navy Marines. We've got nine other countries that are coming here. And what a great way to celebrate the culture, all the different activities that we have in New Orleans to kick it off right here is a big deal for us. So we're excited to be here.
Yeah, really terrific. And thank you for your service and for deciding to stay in New Orleans. I think that's the best news I've heard today.
Well, thanks, Mark.
That was the highlight of this interview.
Well, I don't know.
In fact,
yeah.
Of all the places that you could live, you chose right here.
Yeah. Again, it has been an exceptional time here. The people have been wonderful, as I'm sure all the Navy Marine Corps will see.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We know you're incredibly busy. We really appreciate it. And have a great week.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it, Noel.
Thanks,
Mark.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I'm co-hosting with Mark Romig, Sail 250. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. Mark Romig, Newell Norman out here. Sail 250 at the Julius Street Wharf. We are getting to see more and more activity, a lot more naval officers, Marine Corps officers, officers from different branches. Mark, let's talk about some of the particulars here. And I think a lot of folks are curious about the vessels that are going to be here. So why don't we go through that list real quick.
And it's an exciting time for New Orleans, as you know, and really for the state of Louisiana, because the state has been very helpful in working with the port so that we could appropriately welcome these ships. We have vessels from not only the United States and the United States Navy and Coast Guard, but we have tall ships from Chile, Peru, Colombia, Uruguay, Sweden, the Netherlands. The Netherlands actually is sending a gray hull, which is a military vessel, and Argentina has a tall ship coming in. And, of course, the United Kingdom has the USS HMS Trent, which came in yesterday, and it is safely moored over at Thalia Street, which shows a very interesting reaction that we had when invitations went out. We knew that we only had so much space at the Port of New Orleans. We quickly filled the spaces. We had to, in fact, unfortunately, turn a couple of ships away because we did not have room at the inn, so to speak.
Yeah.
But that's fine. They would move over to the other ports. But they're here. They're coming here today. And tomorrow you'll see a majority of the tall ships come up the river beginning about 8 o'clock in the morning. And there'll be this kind of about an hour in between each one because it takes that long to get them safely moored over at Bienville Street. And that'll be a great way to watch the what we call a parade of sail coming mm-hmm. through. And if the weather's good, the masts are up, and it's
so let's talk about this because people don't realize how massive these boats are. So this Chilean ship, the Esmeralda, right? That vessel is 371 feet long, and 43 feet is the beam.
Think about it, a football field plus.
The height is 159 feet, the mast, and it's called a bark, and a bark is three or more masts, and usually there's one or two of the masts that are square rigged, where the sails are square, unlike a sloop where they're more angular, you know, which are two or more masts. A lot of these big boats are barks, and they're incredible vessels. They're huge. Some of them have as many as 121 sails.
Yeah, and several hundred crew members as well.
No,
and
I said 121 sails. I'm sorry. It was 34 sails.
But, you know, when we think about the purpose of these ships, as they are attached to their military, their navies, these are training vessels for these young cadets to learn seamanship, and then they move on to other service with their respective navies. The opportunity for people now that they'll have beginning really tomorrow afternoon, once the tall ships are safely moored through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, to actually board these vessels and speak with the crew members as they are given tours and to understand how they are experiencing the sea. And a lot of these ships have been out to sea for the last several months.
Yeah. The Libertad that's here is...
And it just pulled in this morning.
One of the is the fastest tall ship in the world.
And and it made it up the river just fine, too.
Fine.
You know, it's interesting. They, working with the Pilots Association here, both the Bar and the Crescent, and they have been extremely generous with their help. They are all being carefully brought through from Pilot Town and then up the river. A lot of them need the tug power of the pilot, the tugs to well to help them push up. But the pilots are steering those ships on our Mississippi River.
Yeah.
And it is, an exciting thing for a pilot to experience. They were calling us saying, we really want to get involved. We want to help these tall ships. This is such a once-in-a-lifetime moment for all of our pilots. And so we want to thank them publicly for their help.
Those tall ships, their draft, you know, how much water they need under the waterline, somewhere anywhere from 23 to 30 feet. I mean, it sort of requires a lot, you know.
And thank you to the Port of New Orleans to ensuring that they could handle the ships.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the festivities are starting. The ships are starting to arrive today. Some more will start tomorrow. For the benefit of the listening audience, their first opportunity to actually involve themselves in an organized activity would be when?
Will be tomorrow. The Kearsarge, which is the amphibious aircraft carrier, will be open for tours tomorrow morning. You come and line up at the Julia Street Terminal, and you'll be able to access the Kearsarge. The British ship, the Trent, will also have tours available. And then the tall ships in earnest would be more Thursday afternoon, beginning then on all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But there are other things that the community can participate in. One thing we're going to be doing is a fireworks show on Saturday night at 9 p.m. That's sort of our thank you to all these ships that are going to be in port and the crew mm-hmm. members, but also to the community. It's a celebration of the 250th anniversary of our nation. And then there's a great event on Sunday, which only New Orleans can do, and that is the Seafood Cook-Off.
Oh.
We have paired culinary specialists from each of the ships with a local chef, and Louisiana Seafood Promotion Board is giving us seafood, and we're going to send them off to build a dish, and then we're going to have judges, and we'll see which ship is has put together the tastiest dish.
Can I volunteer to be a judge?
Come on down. I've got two volunteers here. It's going to be at Spanish Plaza. Delacroix Restaurant is hosting us. Thank you very much.
What a beautiful restaurant.
To that restaurant. And it's again, no other city can do it. I think some of the other ports may try something that like that, but
that's make believe.
Yeah, very good.
But I wanted to give the audience a taste of how big the Kearsarge is.
Please do, because it's coming with 1,000 crew members.
844 feet in length. It travels in excess of 22 knots, and it holds roughly 1,000 ships crew, and it can move nearly 2,000 Marines, and it features a 600-bed hospital, six fully equipped operating rooms, and the list just goes on and on and on. This thing is a beast.
That is one tour that people really need to make. And again, that it's over at the Julia Street Terminal. If you go to our website, which is sail250neworleans.com, it'll give you some of the requirements when you do these ship tours. Like, you don't want to wear open toed shoes. You want to be flat shoes if possible. Dress comfortably.
No high heels.
No high heels. Yeah. But it's a great opportunity to see up close.
That leaves you out, Luke.
The strength of our country. I mean, this ship represents, I think, the strength of our United States Navy and all the power that comes along with it, which reminds all of us why we need to ensure that the freedom that we share remains.
And I don't know that people fully realize the unique opportunity of getting and being able to step foot on the USS Kearsarge.
Yeah, that's not something that happens every day.
Doesn't happen often, right?
The visitors will come to a highly secured area. That's one thing to remember. And we have two ships that are going to be docked.
You need to have a driver's license?
Yes, you need identification.
Right.
There are two ships that are going to be docked at Poland Avenue, which are going to be behind secure fence. So those ships are not going to be open for public tours. But they're here as just part of the presence of our Sail 250. One is the Friesland, which is the ship from the Netherlands, and the other one is the USS Farragut, which is a DDG class vessel.
Right. It was fun doing the research on and reading the history of these vessels and the importance. Like, a number of them, like the Kearsarge, the Farragut, and others, that may be the fifth or sixth vessel that's actually named that in the history of the Navy or the Marine Corps,
and all tied to something historical or something that has great meaning to our nation.
So, and the only reason I mention that is, if you go to the website, you're going to have the list there. Go Google those vessels, and you'll learn a lot. And some of them have historical ties to New Orleans as well.
Yeah, there's a ship, the USS New Orleans, that has been part of our city's history, and one day we'd like to look forward to having that back through here.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to a break. Mark Romick, Newell Norman, we're out here at Sail 250, kind of the opening day. People are arriving, a number of vessels arriving today. A number of tall ships will arrive tomorrow. We'll talk more about some of the offerings that you can experience this week. You don't want to miss it. It's really a great operation. The USO's here. They're putting on all kinds of different functions for the visiting military members that are coming to the city. Some, this is the first time, Mark, they've ever been to the city.
Yeah,
right?
It's interesting. I was down at the Trent this morning, the British ship, and a lone sailor came off dressed in like a workout outfit. His name was Ian. His name is Ian. And welcome to New Orleans, and first time ever in the United States. And the first city he's ever visited is New Orleans. And so he was going to take his jog. I said, well, go up downriver and then do about a 3 mile that way. And he did. And he said, this is an unbelievable city.
Yeah. We'll ruin him for the others.
He may not, I think he got back on the ship. I'm not sure. He might still be running.
Right. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We are back at the Julia Street Wharf, Sail 250. Just a reminder, folks, this is an opportunity that may not ever present itself again when you think we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of our country, the recognition of that by the tall ships and other military, active military vessels coming into the port of New Orleans. This doesn't happen very often. This is an incredibly unique opportunity. If you've never been on a tall ship, have you been?
Yes. In 2012 and 2015, the city successfully hosted a number of tall ships for the anniversary of the War of 1812.
I remember that.
That's it started here, yeah. And then they came back and ended the celebration, the commemoration in 2015. And then we had some ships come in for the tricentennial. It is an experience that you don't want to miss. And there'll be opportunities throughout the weekend to visit not only the tall ships from our foreign flag nations, but the Coast Guard Eagle will be in port as well.
I just a couple of years ago visited the USS Constitution up in Boston.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
There you're walking in history.
Yeah, yeah.
Magnificent. And, of course, this celebration ends in Boston in mid-July.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you've not been up there for July 4th celebration, you definitely want to put that in your bucket list. I did it. It was well worth the
trip. It's in my bucket.
It was incredible. Yeah. It truly was. Mark, none of this happens without a lot of help. And we have been very fortunate, meaning the city has been very fortunate, that we have incredible corporate partners.
Yeah, this planning has been underway, as I said earlier, for 6 years. And New Orleans and Company, along with the Port of New Orleans, took it upon themselves to say, you know what, we're going to make this happen. And so working with the previous administration and now with Mayor Helena Moreno to ensure that when we invite these vessels, these ships to New Orleans, we want to ensure that they have a time that they will always remember. So we had to reach out to friends and supporters in the community to help us pull it together. I mean, there are so many aspects to this. There are services that we need to provide to the tall ships. There are events that are expected at each of the ports, and we had to mirror those as well. And again, the United States Navy as sort of the overall planning partner with the United States Coast Guard, meeting on a regular basis. And then the community stepped up and said, we want to help. So I can just give you some
of
those.
Let's do it. Absolutely.
We've got like the Associated Branch Pilots, the Associated Federal Pilots of Louisiana, the Associated Mooring, Audubon Nature Institute, Belle Chasse Marine Transportation, Cooper T. Smith and Crescent Towing, the Crescent River Port Pilots, Gallo Mechanical, the list goes on, Hancock Whitney Bank, Ochsner, LCMC, Louisiana Blue Foundation, Louisiana Seafood and Office of the Lieutenant Governor. State of Louisiana, Governor Landry stepped up early last fall, end of the summer, and gave the port what it needed to ensure that the ships could safely dock at the riverfront. Now, what that does is it sets up our city to be able to continue to do celebrations like this. We are an international port. We have been an international port for centuries, and we need to put our best foot forward. And thankful to the governor as well as the Port of New Orleans for stepping up and making this happen. City of New Orleans, of course, Mayor Helena Moreno has put her arms around this. She's going to be doing an official pierside welcome to the Kearsarge this afternoon. We're so excited with our EMS and our the security partners in New Orleans Police Department, the state police, and the list goes on. We're just deeply appreciated. One more name I've got to mention, and that is Liz Schellebarger with Host Agency. Mm-hmm. Liz stepped up, and she has been, if there's sort of the coordinator of all things maritime, it's been Liz. And text from her at 2 o'clock in the morning, not unusual, as the ships started to position themselves, and she knows where every ship is at any moment in time, and there'll be a place.
You need a Liz for every operation.
There'll be a
right?
place in maritime heaven for Liz Schellebarger, and we can't thank her enough.
We could be. Let's talk about this for a second, because this is really out of the ordinary. Right.
It really is.
Not for vessels, but for these types of vessels that present very unique challenges.
Very much so. Every ship is different, and every ship has a different need, from customs and immigration to dealing with.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. And again, they all have agents, but working through Host, which is our official agency for the arrival. I did want to mention the New Orleans Saints are also a partner and a sponsor, and deeply appreciate them.
Well, if there's anyone else on that list, mention them, right?
Yeah, I will do that. The convention center. Center, of course, Norton Lilly International, NOTCF, Ochsner, as I said earlier, the New Orleans Police Department, the National World War II Museum, the Historic New Orleans Collection. The list goes on, and the entire list is on our website, and we'll be thanking them again throughout this throughout the weekend, all of our sponsors.
Because none of this really happens without everybody coming together, creating, you know, that momentum here. All of these events, you've been doing this for years, so you knew better than most, but I don't know that the public really appreciates how much this has to come together.
Yeah, you think a ship just arrives and that's it, right?
You know, on so many different fronts, and there's always the need for another Benjamin to make it happen.
Truly,
right?
Truly.
I don't mean to be as raw as that, but
no,
that's what it is.
It does take money to do this properly, and you see all the activity around here this morning. I mean, the anticipation, particularly for the Kearsarge's arrival, which is the granddaddy of the ships that we'll be in, and if you're listening to this and you're able to get down to the Mississippi River riverfront, say along Gold Ring Woldenburg Park or Moonwalk, you want to see the Kearsarge come up the river. It's going to pass Jackson Barracks approximately at noon hour.
Yeah.
And it'll be another hour and a half by the time
it gets. There'll be a salute.
There'll be a 21-gun salute given to the Kearsarge. And then they're going to return fire, friendly fire.
Friendly fire.
And
hopefully.
And again, it's going to stir people's hearts.
Absolutely.
Because it's about the 200.
So, folks, you have about an hour to get down here, get situated, get out on the Riverwalk. Because you're going to see something that may not ever happen again here in the city.
Right. And tomorrow then, beginning at 8 o'clock in the morning, park yourself with some cafe au lait along the riverfront and watch the tall ships come up one at a time.
I mean, great. Bring a chair. Sit down.
Yeah.
You know.
It's definitely a selfie moment.
You know. Stop, get some food, have a picnic out there.
And then have it all weekend.
Absolutely awesome. Yeah. All right, Mark Romig, Newell Norman, we're out here at the Julia Street Wharf. We're setting the stage for Sail 250. It's here. It's in town. They've been planning this for over a year now. And the day's finally here. I don't know if you're breathing a sigh of relief or what it is. You look very relaxed,
I'm trying to stay relaxed. I'm just one of many members of the planning team. And big thanks to the group as well from Audubon Nature Institute. Mike Swire, who's going to be on the show
later. We'll be talking to him later.
But Leslie Ballard and Kara Banish, they're keeping everybody calm because they're going to see tens of thousands of people, I think, at the park over the next several days.
Absolutely. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I'm Newell. He's Mark Romig. We'll be right back. So, folks, what we have set up for the rest of the afternoon is our next guest is going to be Jason Burkett, Area Director of the United Service Organization, otherwise known as the USO. We'll talk about the role that they're playing each and every day in the lives of military families here and around the world, and also, more importantly, the role that they're playing in Sail 250. In fact, Jason just did a marathon up the riverfront here and is trying to catch his breath.
And I want to brag on Jason. From the very start, USO stepped up to ensure that the crew members experienced New Orleans and Louisiana hospitality like no one can. I mean, they really are going to pull together great show for the crew members, and we'll be talking about that when we come back.
Absolutely. And then we'll visit with Dr. Jeffrey Kuo, Emergency Medical Director at Ochsner, and we'll talk about, and he's the official medical provider for Sail 250 and the challenges there. I had him on my show the other day in EMS Appreciation Week, which a lot of folks don't really recognize the role that they play and the important role that they play in putting on these types of events. We'll also visit with Mike Thomas in the 12 o'clock hour, the chairman of the Board of Commissioners for the Port of New Orleans. They have been incredibly busy. And then Mike Sawaya, the new president and CEO of the Audubon Nature Institute, because they've played an important role in putting this all together as well. So we got a lot of information coming up your way. We will be backfilling it with some of the particulars of things that you definitely want to try and schedule. A lot of this is free, right? I mean,
everything that we did with Sail 250 was kind of focused on the visitor experience, the free tours, the opportunity for the fireworks, and come on down now because you can see the ships coming up.
Absolutely. You don't want to miss it. Grab a chair. Come on down. You're going to hear the 21-gun salute. Maybe we'll set up some sound out there so that we can hear it here. We'll take a pause, maybe.
Let's do it.
And hear the 21-gun salute.
We'll be back with Jason shortly.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. News is up next. Stay with us. We'll be right back.